بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أطيعوا الله والرسول فإن تولوا فإن الله لا يحب الكافرين صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. My dear respected mothers and dear sisters and my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us that we should obey Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have been sent in this world for the ibadat and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this worship and this ibadah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obliged upon us, and for which we have been created. The essence of this is obedience to Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times in the Quran instructs us with this command, قُلْ أَتِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَتِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. Say to the people that they should give obedience, they should give ita'ah to Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَتِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَتِيعُ الرَّسُولِ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. O believers, be obedient to Allah and His Rasul and the people of Amr, i.e. the people of knowledge. وَمَنْ يُتِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. That person who gives ita'ah and who is obedient to the Prophet is in reality indeed obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this ita'ah that we have been obliged with, it means that we have to show total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the word ta'ah means al-inqiyad wal-muwafaqah. The ta'ah is to show submission and to show collaboration. To show submission from the inside and to be in agreement to whatever Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. And the agreement and muwafaqat comes in the form of showing and practically demonstrating and carrying out the commandments of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not possible to show ta'at to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by mere outer practice, because that would only show muwafaqah, that would only show agreement from the outer self. This will not be ta'at. Such a person is regarding the Sharia as a hypocrite, that his inner self does not collaborate and is not in agreement with the outer self. قالت العرب آمنا كلن تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا. That the Bedouins came and come and claim and they show favor, or that we have done something great by bringing faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tell them that you have not brought faith, you have only submitted yourself from the outer self. So ta'a is not just the outer, it's not just the outer demonstration of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that would only be one part of ta'a. Ta'a will be when a person's inner self and outer self both submits to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why ta'a is al-inqiyad. First, the inner submission. If a person has only inner submission, he only believes in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he believes that this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he doesn't demonstrate this in his life, and he's not practical in his life. Practically, he doesn't carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's also not doing ta'a, because he's only submitted himself. But he has not demonstrated practically the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person will only be able to claim that he has ta'a in his life, or he will only be carrying out this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of ta'a when his inner and outer self both submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why in the terminology of Sharia, such a person is called Sadiq. And we have been ordered that we become the Sadiq, the true people, the truthful people, meaning their inner and outer self both are the same. They are not just showing outer submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are showing both inner and outer submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us that we should show ita'ah and ta'ah and submission and obedience to Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something which we find over and over again in various verses of the Quran and in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this emphasis that we have to show complete ta'ah, complete submission, complete obedience to Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because there is no other way of gaining success in this world and in the hereafter without showing ta'ah to Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without holding fast to the commands of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why you find in the hadith of Irbad ibn Sari radiallahu anhu, that he states that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave a sermon, he gave a khutbah, and he mentions that it was such a talk, it was such a khutbah, such a nasiha, that we felt that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us farewell advices. And he mentions that our tears were flowing, and we felt that this was advice a person gives when he's departing from this world. So the Sahaba, they mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is as though that you are giving us advice when a person is leaving this world. So what do you advise us? Give us that special advice. What do you command us that what we should do after you leave? What should our conduct be? So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he mention? That he said that I have left you upon such teachings. I have left you upon such teachings which are clear cut. Taraktu alaykum al-bayda. I have left you on clear cut teachings. How clear they are? Layluha ka nahariha. They are so clear that their night is like the day. The day is very clear in the daytime as it is now. We can see everything very clearly. Everything is very clear for us. So the night of this is the same as the day. Meaning everything is very clear cut. I have left everything for you very clear cut. It is straightforward. It is explained to you. It is explained to you. And that person who deviates from this teaching of mine, that person who deviates from this teaching of mine, will only be that person who wants to land himself in destruction. لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. Only that person who wishes to go to destruction, he will deviate from this path. He will deviate from this straight road I have left for you. Only a person who wants to land himself in destruction. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that in the times to come, you will see differences of opinion. You will see people differing in regards to the teachings that I have left. So what should you do at that time? So he says, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا عَرَفْتُمْ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. Hold fast to what you know about my sunnah, my way. My sunnah doesn't just mean the few sunnahs of food and eating. عَرَفْتُمْ مِنْ سُنَّتِي means what you know and recognize to be from my way, from my path that I have left for you. What you have recognized and what you know about my way, because you have seen me and you have seen my life and you have seen my teachings, you have seen how I have explained these teachings of mine. You have seen how I have explained these teachings in my practical life. So therefore hold fast to my sunnah. And وَسُنَّةِ الْقُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ. And the sunnah and the way of the Khulafa'i Rashideen, the righteous Khulafa, the people who will come after me, who will represent me, who will be my naib, who will be my representatives in understanding my teachings. So hold fast to their way, to their ways. Why? Because they know and they fully understand my way. Because of their close proximity, because of how they have acquired this knowledge from my heart. And because they have acquired this from my heart directly, you will see them holding fast to my way. And they will have the true understanding of my way. So if you do not understand something, then hold fast to my way and the way of my Khulafa'i Rashideen. Because they are guided Mahdiyeen. Abdu alayha bin nawajid, hold fast to them with your teeth. When you have to hold, when someone wants to hold something tight, then he grips it with his teeth. This is a method of expressing in the Arabic language when something needs to be held fast to. So the Prophet ﷺ said, hold fast. How fast? Hold it with your teeth. Hold it with your jaws. Now, what we need to understand is that this way of Allah and His Prophet ﷺ, how did the Prophet ﷺ infer upon his Sahaba, and how did he explain to them that they should hold fast to his Sunnah? How? So the point he mentioned is hold fast to my way and the way of my Khulafa'i Rashidin al-Mahdiyin. Indicating to this point that this knowledge I have left, it is going to be passed on to someone, and I have passed it on to this Khulafa, these people who are after me. And they truly understand this knowledge. And therefore, how will the way of the Khulafa be passed on? It will be passed on in the similar way. Who will become the Khulafa of these people? And the people who will become the Khulafa of those people. Meaning, that this true representing or representation of my deen and my teachings, I have passed it on to a group, and this group will then pass this on to another group. So in order to understand the true way of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person will need to find who are the Khulafa, who are the people who have taken this knowledge
from one group after the other, and it has come to our time. It is very important to understand this point, that the Prophet ﷺ didn't say that when you see ikhtilafan kathiran, then find out what my ahadith were. He never said this. He never said that go and look into the Quran and try to understand what my way was, because you will not be able to do that. He never said this. So when you see ikhtilafan kathiran, when you see lot of differences in understanding which is my way, because the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ta'at to Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and ta'at to Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can only be that ta'ah which Allah means to be ta'ah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us a command, for example, He has ordered us to pray salat, so if I want to carry out ta'ah with regards to salah, I cannot make my own interpretation of this salah and say I am performing salah. Because if a person tries to look at the literal meaning of salat, or tries to look at the language or the dictionary and try to understand what a salat means, he may come to a such a distorted meaning that he will be very far away from what Allah and His Prophet wants him to do. Salat can mean dua as well. Salat can mean supplication. Salat, in the linguistic terms, means to move your body as well, like a person would dance. So salwun, to move the pelvis. If a person thinks that I will understand the Quran and Hadith with my own interpretation and my own understanding, he will not come to the right meaning, and he will differ from what exactly Allah and His Prophet ﷺ wanted him to do. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? When you will find ikhtilaf, when you will find differences in understanding the teachings I have left for you, what should you do? عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ فِي مَعْرَفْتُمْ What you know, مِمَّ عَرَفْتُمْ What you know, that you have seen directly. And after that, وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ Because even what you have seen and what you have understood may not be exactly the exact meaning of what I am leaving behind. Therefore, if your understanding also differs in some way to what you understand from my hadith directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even then refer to the Khulafa'i Rashidin. And those people who are the Khulafa'i Rashidin are the people who came up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who understood directly the teachings of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have to understand that in order to give this obligation and this ta'ah to Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to look at that group who has been passing this knowledge on. And the point of this ta'ah is not that we just hold fast to certain things of this ta'ah. It is not just parts of the deen that we have to follow. We have to follow the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, following the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will only take place when we are very particular about every aspect of our deen. And one of the reasons why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this mention, that alaykum bi sunnati, my way, and the way of my Khulafa'i Rashidin al-Mahdiyin, is because that you will find the same point in the life of the Khulafa'i Rashidin and the righty guided people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that they are very particular about every part of the deen, and they ensure that every part of the deen is understood and represented as it was given to them by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will find in their lives that this special attachment to the deen, this special understanding of the deen and special attachment to the deen, that every part of the deen is in their lives. You find in the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that what does he say? That when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left this world, and the situation of the Muslims has become very delicate. It has become very delicate because suddenly there are fitan and there are problems faced from many sides. One side, there is a group who has started following a apostate and started following a liar, a false prophet, that is on one side. There is one side, there are the non-Muslims who are always at the forefront of trying to cause Muslims harm. On one side, there are problems within, that some people have disregarded the command of zakat. So there are so many issues at one time, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is faced with such a dilemma. And a person who all his life was close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose life was totally dependent on the instructions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is suddenly faced with a situation that now he has to take the decision. It is not something easy to understand. It is not something easy to do when a person all his life is dependent on someone, and that person who is dependent upon, he leaves, and the responsibility comes on his shoulders. Then the responsibility that comes on his shoulders is very great, and it is different to a person who has from his initial life taken the responsibility and has been doing it on his own feet from the beginning. It's very different. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't need to go into detail. So you can imagine that the Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has been given his responsibility, and he's from all sides surrounded by problems. It wasn't an easy moment. So at that time, the army which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made under the leadership of Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ordered that this army should be sent. And it so happened that the army had not left yet, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. So the dilemma was that should this army go or not? Should this army go or not? So that was one problem, one side. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, on this point, he mentioned that maybe we should not send this army, because the Muslims need force at the moment. It is possible that there may be other attacks and we may need this army. Another dilemma was about the people giving zakat. That some people had understood that they don't need to give zakat anymore, and zakat was something which was specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away, so we don't need to give zakat. Some negated the obligation altogether, and some negated that they don't need to give it to the Islamic Imamate. They don't need to give it to the Khalifa. So in this whole situation, when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu expressed some leniency meaning he wasn't lenient with regards to his deen, but in terms of hikmah and wisdom, and in trying to look at some things in a worldly aspect, he gave this opinion that maybe we should not let this army go, maybe we should not send forces against the people who are negating zakat or who are not ready to give their zakat. Maybe we should have a different strategy in this regard. So what does Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu say at that time? Look at his words with regards to understanding the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and look at this Allah gifted and this ilham and this special attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the heart of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. What does he say to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? أَجَبَّارٌ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَةِ وَخَوَّارٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. One, he says to him, that have you become a coward when you become a Muslim? And the second, he says, أَيُنْكَسُ الدِّينُ وَأَنَا حَيٍّ. Can the deen go in any way deficient whilst I am alive? That can I bring any changes into this deen? Or can this deen go down in any way? Can it become deficient in the slightest amount whilst I am alive? How can that be? I know the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I know the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it will never ever happen that whilst I am alive, any differences come into the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we understand from this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him a special instinct, special understanding of the Sharia, in which regard they would understand that even this, whereas this was a strategic command, there was nothing in the Quran and the Hadith in which did not give them the opportunity, if they wished, from the ijtihad, to change the opinion of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. There was nothing in this. It was a complete mujtahid fi, and he was complete ijtihad in this. And the Prophet, they would not have gone against any direct command of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith and ijtihad, and thought of a different strategy. But we have to understand this point, that to understand the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a speciality which is given from one heart to another heart. When a person sits in front of that person who has taken it from that person who has taken it directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to understand this point, that this special thing which was in the life of the Sahaba, especially in the time of the, in the life of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, of holding fast to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every little aspect. This is a very sad situation that we see these days, that we have become lenient in our practical life with regarding the command of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regarding the teachings of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have a very lenient attitude, and this is a very dangerous attitude. This leniency with regards to the commands of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a very dangerous thing. It is very dangerous. How dangerous it is? As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhiyallahu anhu mentions, that the people of the book, they only left their teachings when they first left the sunnah in their religion. When they began leaving the sunnah, then this led to them to slowly leaving different parts of their deen. And he says that when you start leaving the sunnah, he said that even if you leave that much of the sunnah, he said, Mr. Hadi, like this much. And he mentioned to his finger that even if you leave this much of the finger, a small amount. What does he say in regards to that? If you leave this much of the sunnah, this much of the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, a tammatul kubra will come upon you. A great calamity will come upon you. And he says that this, leaving the sunnah this much, will slowly lead you to what? He said, lead you to the last point, in the last thing you will do, leave salat. And he says that if you did not have shame in you, you would have left salat as well. So we can see from this, the holding fast to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the minutest, to the having that special attention, that not having any leniency in your life. Not feeling, no, this is only something which I can do away with. This is not the attitude that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind. And this wasn't not the attitude the Sahaba had in their lives. This wasn't the attitude the Salaf al-Salihin had. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah says that man tahawwala bil adabi uqiba bi hirmani sunnah, that person who becomes negligent, who becomes relaxed with regards to the adab, with regards to the etiquette, then what will happen? He will be faced with this problem, with this calamity of being deprived of the sunnah. He'll get deprived of the sunnah. And when this will happen, what will happen? Slowly a person will begin to leave one sunnah, second sunnah, third sunnah. Then when tahamana bi sunnah, that person who becomes negligent, becomes lenient with regards to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will happen? Uqima bi hirman al fara'id. That this will lead to him becoming negligent with regards to the fara'id. And we only need to look into our lives and see that when we become negligent with regards to some mustahab, our elders, our parents, our grandparents, if you look into their lives, then you will see that they are very particular about sunan, nawafil, mustahab. You will not find them praying less than 17 rakats in Isha. You will not find them praying less than 8 rakats in Asr. You will not find them praying less than 7 rakats in Maghrib. You will not find them. In Zahar, you will see that they will pray 4 sunnat, 4 faras, 2 sunnat, 2 nafal. You will find them. And you will see them in their lives that they have chash and awabin. And you will see them that when they take something as a habit in their life with regards to any ma'amulat, you will see them very particular about all these things. And you will see in their lives that certain things, whatever, according to their capacity they have learned, even if it was a makruh tanzihi, but they will be so particular about it that they will think that it is haram. Do you think that this is haram? Why? It's because of this nature inside them that we have to be very careful in our life, because we don't know what this will lead to another and this will lead to another. So we find, what Hazrat Abdullah Mubarak rahmatullah says, that man tahawwana bi sunnah, the person who becomes lenient with regards to the sunnah, uqima bi hirman al fara'id, then he will be faced with this calamity of the fara'id leaving his life. And when this will happen, man tahawwana bil fara'id, what will happen when a person becomes lenient with regards to the fara'id, uqima bi hirman al ma'rifa, then he will be faced with this calamity of being deprived of the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning he will lose his iman. My dear sisters, we need to see in our lives that this attitude in our lives of becoming negligent, becoming lenient with regards to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where has this led us to? Where has this led us to? That today we do not find that same feeling in our hearts with regards to many haram things. Many haram things, we don't feel that feeling in our heart. In the time of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Darda radhiyallahu anhu says that if someone were from the Salaf was to come into our times, they would think that there is nothing in you from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam except Salat. This is Abu Darda radhiyallahu anhu saying that when he's seeing the people, he said, you have left the exact teachings of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to that degree that he is feeling that in your lives I do not see you on that state, that if anyone from the pious predecessors, meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sahaba, if they were to come in this time, they would think that there is nothing in you from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Maymun ibn Mihran rahimahullah says a similar thing, that if one of you was to go to the way of the Prophet, life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was to go in his life, and then you used to come back here, then you would find that none of you on anything as it was according to the way of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way of the Sahaba, you will not find yourself according to that time, except that there is salat in you, meaning that you pray namaz with jama'ah. That's what you will find. And some people have said that, except that la ilaha illallah, that you are saying la ilaha illallah, that looks only the similar thing that you are doing. How is Maymun ibn Mihran, how is Abu Darda, when they are saying this, this shows us that they truly understand the way of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they understood that what is the exact way of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the way the people are acting upon Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way they are doing. And this is the time of the Tabi'een and the Sahaba. It is definitely they are not doing any haram things. Definitely they are not doing masiyat of major sins. It's definite. But their representation and the manner they are doing these things, there is a definitely deficiency. What can we say about our time then? What can we say about our time? If Abu Darda was saying that at that time, what can we say about our time? And you also understand that there is always a group of people who really actually understand the exact way of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are able to say to us that you are not on the way of the way of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my dear sisters and my dear brothers, we need to bring this point in our lives. We need to bring this point in our lives that holding fast to the way of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it should be part of our life. And not only that, it should be done in accordance with the way Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left it for us and has come to us. And this is something we will find that has been passed on centuries after centuries, people after people. And you will find this understanding of the way of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just in textual form, not just in academic form, but in practical terms in our akabir and our pious predecessors. You will see that they in their practical life, in their natural life, in their normal life, that they truly understood the exact meaning of the Quran and Ahadith. And in their practical form, you will find them that it was natural for them. Hazrat Ganguly rahmatullah alayhi mentions that the umur of Sharia, umur of Sharia have become umur tabi'iyya. They have become natural for me. Meaning, that I am so engrossed in the hadith and the Quran and the hadith and the understanding of the Quran and the hadith that it is something natural for me that I can never go against what the way of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. It's just natural for me. A person who has reached this caliber of understanding of the Quran and hadith, how can we find ourselves deviating from such people and from their understanding? Many people, they think these days that maybe they have erred, maybe they made a mistake, maybe they have not understood the exact way of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many people think that maybe they did not really understand what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. Maybe they made a mistake. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to understand this one point here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it upon Himself that such a group of people will always remain in this world who understand exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left behind in this world. There will always be a group of people. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, that ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin, that stay with the people of sidq. And I've already explained at the beginning what is sidq. Sidq means that person whose inner and outer self is the same. So meaning that when he believes in Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the teachings of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his true form, he has that in his life. So that people will always remain. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, hold fast to my way and the way of the Khulafa Rashidin. So there will always be a group of people like this. So how do we know which group of people are on this path, the exact way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left in this world? Which are these people? We have to look into their lives. And we have to look at their lives and see their thinking, their walking, talking, what was it? Did they have any aspect of this world in their life? Did they have any aspect of this world thing in their life? Or were they totally engrossed at all times in understanding the right way of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And you will find this in our Kabir. We have to read their books. Once Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi, he, due to excessive prayer at night, he had swollen feet. So he said, today alhamdulillah I am according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that today in my life a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's feet were swollen, today my feet are swollen. You will not find this attitude, and you will not find this understanding, and you will not find this feeling towards the Quran and the hadith and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to itaat to Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except in this group of people that we have. Once Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, he became late in getting to the saf before the Imam says Allahu Akbar, before he says Allahu Akbar. Just that much delay. Upon this, he was so sad that he says, for so many years, 20 years or something, I have never been delayed this much that I haven't been delayed today. So you can see from this that their attitude with regards to every small thing, with regards to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are so particular in these points. Then how could it be that their teachings and their understanding of Quran and hadith can be different to the way that Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left in this world, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, they left in this world? It is not possible. So let us go with this understanding. One is that we need to understand the correct teachings of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the correct teaching that Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left for the people. And this will be only understood when we sit in the company of the people who have truly understood the exact meaning of Quran and Hadith. Many times, look at this incident of Hazrat Abu Bakr Umar radhiyallahu anhu, which I have just mentioned, that it is not that Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu did not have knowledge. The knowledge of Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu was so great. It was so great that the people around him would not be as knowledgeable as him. He was a very knowledgeable person. And his spirituality was not of a common Sahabi. What was his spirituality? The Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْكَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيًّا لَكَانَ عُمَرٌ, that if a person was to be granted Nubuwwah, that if his spirituality is at such a level, that if Nubuwwah was something which can be attained, then the person befitting this rank is Umar radiallahu anhu. So his spirituality was not something less as well. But you have to understand that even in despite Umar ibn Khattab being of such a caliber, look at the caliber of Abu Bakr ibn Umar and his understanding of deen. His understanding of deen, which was given specially to him because of his sohbat and because of his association with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in such a circumstances his firasat and his understanding was different to Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab, despite in a strategical term and despite in a worldly understanding, maybe Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab's opinion was more better. So similarly, in many matters of our deen, maybe our understanding in looking at the condition of the ummah, maybe looking at the strategical approach that we should be taking, maybe in the political understanding we have, we may think that this will be the better way for the Muslims, and maybe we should be lenient in this matter. But we have to look to our akabir and our pious people who have that special firasa and who have a special understanding of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's deen, who can tell us that in this circumstance and in this situation, is our understanding of our deen correct or not? And at such times when we find them differing with us, then we should show our submission to their understanding of deen. Because what they have, we do not have. So let us go with this message, let us go with this enthusiasm that we want to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to learn it from the right sources. And thereafter we want to have the same approach that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, our akabir had with regards to every command of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the smallest items. The adab and the sunan, to the faraid, to every single small item as well. We want to be very particular. And we want to be very particular so that we create between ourselves and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great wall. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu says that no person can get to that level of taqwa, of complete taqwa, until he creates between himself and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great wall of halal, a great wall of permissible things. Until he will create a great wall of permissible things, he will not be able to reach the high level of taqwa. A person cannot assure himself to be from the muttaqeen until he does not leave the permissible things, meaning those things which he has potential that if I do this permissible thing, then it will lead me to haram. Until he does not have that attitude in his life, he cannot become muttaqeen. Some mufassirin have mentioned that the word muttaqeen only can be used for that muttaqi when that person, he has in his life the attitude of staying away from many halal things. Then only he can be called a muttaqi, a person who is abstaining. Because to abstain from haram, he has to do that anyway. He has to abstain from haram anyway. Muttaqi, the person who refrains, is actually that person who refrains from many halal things in fear that he may fall into haram. So having this attitude with regards to our sharia of being very stern, very steadfast, being very particular about the adab and the sunan and the small parts of deen, only then this will lead us to becoming steadfast in our deen and following the exact way of our qabir and the exact way of the salaf al-salihin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I and all of us the tawfiq to practice what has been mentioned. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله